for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, February the 20th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Deal with Your Anger.
And with that, we welcome Jerry McGee for the afternoon message.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. I'm not going to apologize to those of you who heard this message last time, but there's so many new people here, and every one of us, if we're not doing it now, have struggled with anger in our life. But don't allow anger. Can I say that again? Do not allow anger in your life. When it comes up, deal with it. Find out how it got there and deal with it, because anger is idolatry. When you turn to the Lord and you deal with it at His throne of grace, the anger leaves. And when you find out why, and before this is over, I want to share how to forgive. You know, forgiveness is not it's not an emotion, it's a choice. I choose to forgive. I don't have to feel like it. I don't have to want to. I don't have to think it's fair. I do it because I love Jesus more than I love this demon of unforgiveness. And it's a demon. It brings torment in Matthew 18, and Carly shared that earlier. And so the tormentors, you know, in Matthew 18, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, regarding the man who wouldn't forgive, he said, he turned him over to the tormentors, and he said, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you, Peter. Peter was a Christian, if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. And from the heart is childhood issues usually. And so the way you forgive, and I was going to share that later, but I'll share it now. I had lunch, and some of you have heard this, but some of them have not heard this before. And basically, this is the key to freedom, is forgive. I had lunch with a girl one day, and we got in a disagreement. And she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said, I'm sorry, so why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. She's pushing your mother buttons. I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about this person. So I started forgiving my mother for negativity and started forgiving her, and then it was over. Now, there's other times when somebody may say, Elizabeth may say, Jerry, forgive me for what I said yesterday. I say, what did you say? Oh, I didn't think anything of that. That's not a hard issue. But when you say, I'm sorry, I choose to forgive somebody, and you can't forgive them, next day you're still ragging on them in your head, or a week later or a month later, you're still, it's causing toxic emotions to come up, or bad thoughts, then it's a hard issue, and you have to examine, how is this related to my childhood? And so when Peter said from the heart, it's that breach area of the heart that we've long forgotten. And so when you forgive and forgive your mother, father, or whoever, and if your mother and father, it wasn't them, it could have been your grandparents, but usually it's your mother and father. So wherever you let the sun go down on your anger, you're in a prison. If you are angry at 1,000 people, you're in 1,000 different demonic prisons. And so this message here is on anger. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne. And, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name for the truth that sets us free, that we won't reject. You said your people perish for the lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. So, Lord, I pray that each of your children here will receive knowledge, the truth that sets them free. And, Lord, we just pray that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from our innermost being. Lord, you said if I commit my way to you, you'll establish my thoughts. I ask you to establish the thoughts of each person in this room. We bind any demons that would twist words or misinterpret words. And Satan, I bind you, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from every person in this room, from our homes, our possessions, from our children, our families, everything that concerns us, we break your power over this camp. We nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place. In Jesus' name, are spoken over us, we break in Jesus' name. We declare that no spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord can work in this place, on this land. Lord, we just thank you that you appoint understanding and discretion to watch over us, to watch over this land. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Jesus said the whole law is fulfilled when we walk in love. You know, a lawyer came to Jesus and he said, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what does the law say? And he said, well, it says I'm to love the Lord with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, and my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll have eternal life. And so when we're angry, we break God's law of love. And sometimes we allow fear and anger, and we allow these things in our life, and there is a spiritual root to why we're this way. I remember Chris Simpson said that anger is attached to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. Anger is idolatry, just like any sin is idolatry. Let me just tell you, depression is idolatry. Because I look at life, I look at my life, and it doesn't pan out the way I think it ought to. I have this standard of what I think it ought to be, and I look in the mirror, and my life isn't that way, so I take a nosedive. I used to have this idol that I had to be petite to be accepted. I look in the mirror in this big old Amazon, and the self-rejection, self-hate, self-contempt nosedive. And see, it was just idolatry because I had a mental picture of what I was comparing myself with. Is that right? And so when you get depressed, it's because you're depressed about life not being the way you think it ought to be. And listen, it's not about what we think it ought to be. It's about what we think, what God wants it to be. We're not here to make ourselves happy. We're here to make God happy. Amen? And so if you get married expecting some man to make you happy, let me tell you something. Nobody's going to make you happy except Jesus. I had to learn that the hard way. And I can tell you, I'm very happy. Praise the Lord. I might have a frown on my face sometimes. But anyway, the whole law is fulfilled when you walk in love. Amen? Jesus said that all of the commandments can be summed up in this one saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, your neighbor as yourself. And so that fulfills all of God's law. The Old Testament law was to keep the letter of the law. And in the New Covenant, we keep the spirit of the law, which is love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Hatred stirs strife, but love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind. So hate would be impatient and unkind. Love is not jealous, so hate is jealous. Love is not rude, so hate is rude. Love does not act unbecomingly, hate acts unbecomingly. Love never fails, hate always fails. In Jesus' name. In fact, Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. He was not just giving you a commandment. He's saying you will be treated how you treat others. Because the law of sowing and reaping says you'll get more later in the same thing that you give. You'll get. You'll receive. In James chapter 1, verse 1, verse 19, it says, you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Why is that? Because the righteousness of God is that we love. When we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, and we don't love God with our whole heart, we break God's covenant. And judgment comes when we do that. And because God is love. Anger is idolatry, like every sin is idolatry. 1 Samuel 15 23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So every sin is idolatry. Anything you allow in your life is idolatry. And if you practice idolatry, the Bible says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, I prayed a prayer. Well, you know, I prayed a prayer too. And in 19, when did I accept the Lord? In 19, oh goodness. Anyway, let me just tell you, I accepted the Lord 54 years ago. probably longer than that, at the Billy Graham Crusade. I basically got baptized, but I just really took a bath because I wasn't saved. I accepted him. I've always believed in Jesus, but I wasn't born again until I was 25 years old. And everything about me changed. So if you've received Jesus and you haven't had a heart change, you just, the devil believes. But when you're born again, your whole life gets transformed. You're not perfect. You're still a work in progress. But you hate it when you see it. If you can, if you, after you've accepted the Lord, can live in sin and still be contented, you don't know the Lord. So there's many of you here today that just need to be born again. And Jesus said, if any man's going to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's when you're born again. The scripture says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So we have to give up our life to produce fruit. And it's not our fruit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And so, in the parable of the sower, you know, for a seed to grow, it has to give its life over to the soil. And then the moisture in the soil cracks the seed and life breaks forth. And so we have to give up our life in order to produce fruit for the Lord. And Jesus said that you didn't choose me, but I chose you that you might go and bear fruit. He goes on to say that every tree that does not bear fruit is cut off and thrown in the fire. And so sometimes people are given a destiny and they want God to heal them. But if God healed them, would they go back to the same old lifestyle? Or would they produce fruit? Because he says, I'm going to cut you off if you don't produce fruit. And it's the fruit of his Holy Spirit. And it can only be when we give up our life that we might find it. You know, my sister was going through a divorce. I wasn't saved. I'd accepted the Lord. I'd been baptized, believed in the Lord my whole life. I believed in Jesus even before I received him as my Savior. And so after I accepted him, I kept on cussing, kept on smoking, kept on living the way that I lived. But when my sister was going through a divorce, I knew the answer was in God's Word. So I started reading God's Word. And then I realized that I'd been born again just through reading God's Word. Doesn't the Bible say you're born again by the living Word of God? So we need to, if you say you're born again and you're not reading the Word of God, you've got a problem. We're living in days, if you don't know the Lord, there may be a day when you can't even get a Bible. And listen, read your Bible as much as you can. Right now, I cannot read per paper notes. And I'm saying, God, please, I want to read your Word again. The way I get the Word is to cut and paste a Bible verse, a whole passage of Scripture, and send myself an email, and my iPhone will read it to me. That's how I have to get the Word right now. I can read the iPad because it's lit up underneath. But reading paper notes, I started to say when she was saying, write somebody a note. When Connie was saying, now write somebody a note, I was going to say, and I'm not cursing myself, okay? I said, well, don't write me because I can't read it right now, but I'll be able to soon. I have to have my secretary read anything people write and send me because I can't read it anymore because it's not lit up. And so some people say, well, why don't you just go get those cataracts cut off? And I'm willing to do that, but I don't feel any peace. I'd be afraid to go. But if I felt God told me to go, I wouldn't have one fear of going. So I'm waiting for God. And so y'all agree with me. Lord, cut these cataracts off in the name of Jesus. I told the Lord 2 days ago, I said, Lord, my family knows that I'm trusting you. They're all saying, why don't you go to God? Why don't you go do this? Why don't you do that? My little granddaughter said, grandmother, you at least need to go and find out what the problem is. So, when you hear words like that, but I said to the Lord, Lord, if you don't heal me, my grandkids are going to think that you are not faithful to answer prayer. And that what Moses told God when he was going to kill the children of Israel? And I said, and God, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck when I say that, okay? I humbly say that. But your word is true or it's not true. And so I'm going to believe it's true. I'm going to stand on your word. You're not a man that lies. So I'm going to believe your word in Jesus' name. Two or three days ago, for the last two or three months when I drive, When I drive, I'm praying the whole time. And when I'm meeting, I'm praying in tongues. I'm saying, God, be my eyes. And so when I'm meeting ongoing traffic, if the lighting is just right, you know, I can pretty much see, but sometimes there could be a black car or something's right there before I see it. So now, for the last few months, I've said, Lord, tell me if it's safe to turn. And not one time has He not told me when it was safe. There's never a car when He tells me it's safe. So I thought, well, Lord, if You are telling me when I'm safe, when I turn, I'm getting off track, but somebody needs to hear this, I hope. Anyway, I said, if You always tell me when I can turn, then, and You haven't failed me yet, why can't I believe You when You tell me I'm not going blind? Why can't I believe You? So that strengthened my faith. Because God is faithful. Praise the Lord. And I can see y'all, okay? And I can drive it, you know, I can, at night I can drive to the Merrill's house. I can drive there without my glasses and see fine. So thank God for my good eyes. But I just need to read. Amen? So Lord, I thank You that I'm going to read Your word again, and these ladies are agreeing with me. Read while you can, because one of these days you may be an old lady and can't read your Bible. Okay? My mom and dad couldn't read the Bible. They said they couldn't. And so, that's terrible. I miss the Word. I miss the Bible. I miss being able to open the Bible. So don't take being able to read the Word lightly, because that's your lifeline. It's the truth that sets you free. And I just, I yearn to be able to read the Word again. And I'm going to, because that God wants that more than I do. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So back to anger being idolatry. Deuteronomy 32 said, well, let me say it. It's idolatry. And so how do you detect your idols? How do you know you have an idol? Anything that makes you angry if you don't get it, or angry if you don't have it, that's an idolatry. There's always anger behind idolatry. Same with fear. If you have an idol of behind fear, fear is also linked to an idol. And so you know you have an idol if you fear you won't get it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it, or you get angry when you lose it. So anything that makes you angry is tied into idolatry. And of course, you have till sundown to deal with it. And don't be like Carla said, and she didn't do that. Well, this is not sundown. No, do not let that sun go down on your anger. You see, I read that when I got saved. I read that in the Word of God, and after that, I had a fear of God on me of ever letting the sun go down on my anger. And I've shared this before, and some of you that heard my stories over and over, I'm sorry, but there's new people here. Okay, and besides, every time. I attended 55 Milk Green seminars. I never missed one. He read the same verses every time, and every time I saw something totally different from the Word of God.
We love your story.
See, I've got a couple of fans out there. No, I love y'all. All love me. Put up with me. Anyway, but I had a fear of going to bed angry. And my husband was always angry at me. And I remember this particular night that I went upstairs and I wanted to go to bed. I wanted to be at peace. Well, he was angry at me. And so I said, Lord, why do I always have to be the one that says I'm sorry? Why is it always me that apologizes? And he said, this time, I said, it's not my fault this time. He said, yeah, it's not your fault this time, but you've got a pride problem, and it's just good for you to have to go humble yourself. So I went down, I was asking to forgive me, and then he said, no, I'm not going to forgive you because you just keep doing the same old thing over and over. And then I got mad all over again. Anyway, but it's idolatry. Don't allow anger in your life. You know, because for the most part in churches, they don't teach you about sin. And we just think, well, anger is acceptable. Having a little fear is acceptable. Having a little depression is acceptable. Having a little discouragement. No, it's not. It's not acceptable. It's sin, and God wants us to die to it. And hopefully before this message is over, you'll know how to die to it, how to get rid of it, how to let go of it. And so everything that makes you angry is linked to an idol. And it really goes back to the way you were trained up. Plus, I mean, that's one way. But every place your parent violates the word of God in training you up, you have an anger issue, whether it's cropped up or not. It's still there. It'll jump out of the box one of these days. Because God doesn't show you everything at once. And so anger opens the door to unforgiveness, and then to bitterness, and then bitterness opens you up to sickness and death. If you do not deal with your anger and your bitterness, you'll end up getting sick at some point or time in your lifetime. And bitterness and rebellion, which all of that's rebellion, all of it's witchcraft. And, you know, cancer is when your cells get in rebellion. And wherever area it is in your body, that's what you need to deal with. If it has to do with your feet, then you've been walking the wrong paths. Sometimes if it has to do with your intestines, it has to do with your emotions or your stomach. What are you eating? There was a precious lady out in pasture out in California, and she's into all it was. I was in her church, and I saw some things, but I just thought, well, I'm going to go and just do my part and do what God tells me. But she came down with cancer, and it was of the stomach and of the esophagus. And so, you know, the Lord showed me it was what she was eating, what you're taking in spiritually. She was taking in stuff from false prophets and some of this mess that's going on out there. And so that's what she'd been taking in. And the Lord told me that. And then somebody called me and said she was sick. And so I said, well, Lord, if you want me to tell her, then you have her call me. And so anyway, I was able to share with her. And she got better, and I haven't talked to her lately, but it did make a difference. She did receive it. And so it's what you're taking in sometimes, if it's your stomach. If it's breast, it has to do with not being nurtured. You know, breast speaks of feeding, and if your mother didn't breastfeed you, that can be one of the major causes of breast cancer. Resentment towards your mother, or ovary problems, resentment towards your mother. So, depends on where the cancer is, what it has to do with. Deuteronomy 32, speaking of the children of Israel, or called Jeshurun, says they grew fat and kicked, and they worshiped false gods, and then God turned them over to anger and jealousy and fear. And you can read that in Deuteronomy 32. It says, they made me jealous with what is not God. They provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will provoke them to jealous with those who are not a people, that's demons, and I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, that's a type and shadow of demon powers. And so whenever we have idols, God turns us over to anger and jealousy and fear and bitterness and the teeth of beast and hunger. You can read all that, the progression of it in Deuteronomy 32. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals or covers over dishonor. Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle word turns away anger, but harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who's slow to anger calms a dispute. Doesn't James say where there's contention and strife, there's every demonic work? You see how that stirs up demons? Proverbs 16:3 says, he who's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit or watches over and sees that he don't have anger and deals with it is better than him who captures the city. So to paraphrase, you can say, he who is slow to anger is better than a mighty person, and he who rules his spirit is better than the mighty who captures the city. So God says, if we can rule our spirit, we're better than the mighty. Glory to God. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's discretion, his wisdom, his knowledge, his prudence, his intelligence makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great anger will bear the penalty, and if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. Why is that? I don't know how many of you have ever been around an angry person, but to please them, you can't ever please them. If you jump this high, you have to jump higher and higher and higher and higher, and they're never happy, and you can't ever please them. And because you're compromising, the Bible says you'll become just like them. Stay away from an angry man lest you become like him. And that's how you become like him, is allowing him, his anger to control you, and it opens you up to his image and his familiar spirit. Proverbs 19, I already read that. Proverbs 20, verse 2 says, the terror of a king is like the growling of a lion, and he who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. That would be one way to illustrate this, is if somebody is into idolatry and you're compromising with their idolatry, it says you have to give up your life to not compromise. Did that make sense? Did it? In other words, you'll have to compromise to keep this person happy. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion, but he who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. And if you don't cooperate with this king and his anger and his terror, then you forfeit your life. I mean, let me say it this way. If you don't compromise with him, you forfeit your life. If you compromise with him, then you've got a problem with God. God doesn't want us to compromise. We're living in days that if you compromise, you'll be killed. It's only as we walk the highway of holiness that no lion, no fool, no unclean can walk there. One false prophet wrote that the sinners could get on the highway of holiness. And I emailed him. I said, that's not scriptural. I said, you're leading people astray. No lion, no fool, no unclean can walk the highway of holiness. He said, well, you just don't understand. Maybe if they got on there, they'd change. Hello.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's your safe place, is the highway of holiness. And that's walking according to his word. And see, God lets us go through things to line us up with his word. He lets us go through storms of life to conform us to his image, if we're wise enough to let him control our storm. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Proverbs 29:8 says, scorners set a city aflame, but he who's wise turns away anger. There's another scripture in Proverbs, and I don't know where it is, but it says, a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. He's full of idols. Gets his button pushed. If your person is always getting your button pushed, there's all these sore places down in your heart that God wants to heal, and they're all linked to idolatry. So when you get your button pushed, say, okay, Lord, why does that make me so mad? My husband used to, when I would turn the thermostat from, you know, when I'd want to switch the thermostat to hot to cold, I wouldn't go hot, stop, cold, stop, hot. I'd go from hot to cold. And he fussed at me, and he was right. I shouldn't have done it. But I said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And then I'd do it again. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. After about 24 years, I went to the thermostat, and he fussed at me, and I said, don't you ever do that to fuss at me about that again. That wasn't my nature. And I went in the room, and I said, oh, Lord, why did that make me so mad? And he showed me that my daddy, if you went to his house and you changed the thermostat, he's right up over it, just like this. And see, I let the sun go down on that. So whatever pushes your button, there's a reason. There's a sore place. There's a place where you didn't turn to God. You turned to a false god instead. And wherever you have a false god, you're going to get your button pushed. So a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. Proverbs 30:33 says, for as the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. There's where every evil work is, the churning of anger. And this is kind of a person who is a stuffer, and anger is just kind of churning around, and maybe you don't want anybody to know he's angry. It could even cause nosebleeds. Ecclesiastes 5:17 says, throughout a fool's life, he eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. And vexation is grief, sadness, sorrow, wrath, hurt, idolatry. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be eager in your heart to be angered, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. And you know, I was thinking of this when I was studying. I never thought about this before. But if anger resides in the bosom of fools, could that be causing heart problems? Could it be one of the causes of high blood pressure is not only fear and worry, but it's also anger? Have you ever said, that makes me so mad I feel like having a heart attack or blowing a fuse or something like that? That can be an aneurysm. Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put pain away from your body. So if I've got pain in my body, it's linked to wrath, anger, sorrow, hurt, idolatry. It's idolatry because in my grief and in my sorrow and my sadness, I didn't go to God. I turned to a false god, and because of that, it can cause emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So being angry, and I used to think being angry and don't sin, just pretend you're not angry. That's not what that means. My husband said, well, are you angry? No. Are you sure you're not angry? No. You're not angry? No, I'm not angry. You ever done that? Try to, you know anger's not right, so you don't want to admit you have it. But it means to take accountability and say, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I have a right to be angry. But you know what? I love Jesus more than I love this demon of unforgiveness, and I'm going to forgive you by sundown. Wherever you've let the sun go down on your anger, you're in a spiritual prison and in need of deliverance. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is outcry, and slander be put away from you with all malice, which is acid malignity. And I've shared one way anger comes in is, well, two ways. It comes into the sins of the fathers. If you have angry parents and you judged them, you're going to be just like who you judge. Have you ever said you'll never be like your mother, you'll never be like your daddy, and then you look in the mirror and you're looking right at your mother? You ever done that? I have. But it comes into the sins of the fathers. It comes in through letting the sun go down on my anger in childhood, because I don't know. Nobody taught me when I was a kid, don't let the sun go down on your anger. How many of you ever had that taught to you when you were a kid? Look around. Two people, three people. Praise God that there's three people that was taught that. Most of us were not taught not to let the sun go down on your anger. We were kind of subtly taught that it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be depressed, it's okay to be fearful. We were trained up in the way we should not go. And so when as children we're hurt and we don't know we can go to God, and we turn to something else. When I get out of this house, life's going to be different. I just turn to a false god. And then that sets in motion forces for me to keep reaping the same old thing, and everybody keeps treating me the same old way. You know, if you're reaping a certain thing, you say, this always happens, this always happens, this always happens. Well, that's a reaping. And God can change the reaping when we find out how it got there. He wants to cause us to reap good things, not bad things. So, Ephesians 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, here it's saying that they either provoke you to anger or they bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so, that can be one of the roots for anger. And anger is listed as one of the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5:18, it says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you're not being led by the Spirit, you are under the law. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, and that's when you have sex with a married person and you're married, or you're unfaithful to your husband, or he's unfaithful to you. And there's spiritual adultery, and that's when we're going to be the bride of Christ. Jesus is our bridegroom. And so when our heart goes after one of these idols, we've committed spiritual adultery against the Lord. uncleanness, which it means to be morally impure. Fornication means to have sex outside of marriage. Lasciviousness means inclined toward lustful, wanton, lewd behavior, arousing sexual desire, indicating sexual interest, manifesting in lewd, lustful behavior. Hatred, variance, which means to be a quarreler or a fighter. Emulations, which is jealousy and rivalry. Wrath, which is anger. Strife, seditions, which is discontent, rebellious against authority, rebellious uprising. Heresy, inclined toward doctrines of demons. And the first thing I forgot to mention was with idolatry, and that's loving anything more than you love the Lord. You see, I get angry because you don't appreciate my idols as much as I do. Say if I have an idol that you've got to listen to me, I get angry if you don't listen to me because you don't value my idol as much as I do. If I have an idol that you've got to love me and you don't love me, then I get angry when you don't love me because you don't value my idol as much as I do. That's why I get angry. Witchcraft, which is sorcery. That word sorcery, pharmakia, is what that means. It means a spell. It means a pharmacist, a druggist, a spell-giving potion. Heresies is inclined, holding to false demonic doctrines, and there's so many demonic doctrines out there. One thing that will give you a clue, if they don't teach you about your sin, I can tell you that's a demonic doctrine, because that was every message of every true prophet in the Word of God from Jesus' own told you to deal with your sin. If they're not talking about holiness, God says without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. If they're not talking about righteousness, if they're just talking about drunkenness and gold dust and kicking and screaming on the floor like a sprayed cockroach, that's not the Lord. God tells us to be sober. In fact, I'm going to continue on the works of the flesh. Envying, probably having to do with jealousy and anger. Murder, we murder people with words and physically murder. Drunkenness, there's spiritual drunkenness and physical drunkenness. And I've written a little book back there on drunkenness. Is it a blessing or a curse? And there's not one scripture in the Word of God that tells you that drunkenness is a blessing. It's a curse. In fact, if you do a word study on wine or new wine in the Bible, you'll see that God mixes, there's a table of the Lord and there's a table of demons. God mixes a wine, because of spiritual adultery, it says that he mixes a cup of the wine of his wrath that he makes the harlot drink that makes her drunk. It's a judgment on spiritual adultery. And you don't have to be in one of these faith revivals to experience that. I mean, you can be in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, you can be in any church, and if you're a spiritual adulterer, you are under a curse of spiritual drunkenness. You don't have to be in these faith revivals. Any person that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and their heart goes after other idols, God gives you the cup of his wine of his wrath to make the harlot drink and makes her drunk. It says, and all of these things, and, well, let me keep reading. Reveling is to take delight in boisterous merrymaking, party spirit. And such like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not talking about a one-time sin. It's talking about a habit, a custom, a lifestyle of those things. And, of course, if you're a true believer, you're going to be working to get rid of those things in your life, and that's deliverance. In Genesis 4, verse 5, you know the story of Cain and Abel. God had told Cain and Abel the kind of offering that he wanted, and it says that God rejected Cain's offering. It says, for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to master you, but you must master it. And see, some of you have got anger in your life, and you've got to master it. That's what the Word says. We've got to master it. We're all a work in progress. We all have issues we have to deal with, but deal with them. And the more you deal with them, the freer you'll get, the more blessed you'll be, the happier you'll be, and God will restore your life so that you can be that priest of the Lord to help other people. And you don't have to be, and nobody, even that's ministering, isn't a work in progress. I mean, I've got things that I'm asking God to work in my heart. So nobody, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about Jesus being the Lord and Master of your life today, every minute of this day, and when something gets out of whack, deal with it, and then get back on the potter's wheel. In Matthew 5, it says, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said, the ancients were told, you've heard the ancients, it said that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court." But I, and then of course that's God's court. Unless you really kill somebody, and then you go before physical court. But we're talking about the spirit realm. "But I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother will be, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, will be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." And if you look up that word fiery hell in the Greek, it means that final place of punishment for the ungodly. Because anger breaks God's law of love. The only righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees is to walk in love. You know, the Pharisees wanted you, expected you to toe the mark. And when we're angry, we're expecting people to toe our mark. Is that right? And so love is the only thing that covers a multitude of sins. So expectations is idolatry. I love you because, I mean, I'm angry at you because I expect you to toe my mark. "Therefore, if you're presenting your gift to the altar and you remember there that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there and go before the altar, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and bring your gift, your offering to the Lord." And what that's saying is if you go to pray and you know your brother has something against you, you don't have anything against them, you're to go to them, get right with them, and then bring your gift to the altar. Then come and pray. Years ago, the Lord made me call a lady that it was really her fault. But the Lord made me call her and ask her to forgive me. And I worded it this way: "Would you please forgive me for the way I treated you?" Well, I thought, I wondered when you were going to wake up. That was her response. See, I could have got into another fight with her. And I said, but I just ask you to please forgive me. And so God wants us to do that. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent might hand you over to the judge." And James, it says there's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's God. "And the judge to the officer," and that's a demon spirit, "and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you'll not come out of there till you paid up the last cent." And so, I can't, somebody, can you read that for me?
Yeah. "Make friends quickly with your opponent at law."
Can y'all hear her?
"Yes. While you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be
thrown into prison. And it says you won't come out of there till you pay up the last cent. In other words, you'll be in that prison until you forgive. And if you don't, okay, if you don't forgive, and the next one is, well, don't do that yet. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "For if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you." And remember, it's a choice. It's not an emotion. And so that's an unpardonable sin. If you won't forgive, God's not forgiving you. If you don't forgive, you won't even go to heaven. That's pretty clear. I mean, I don't know how you could interpret it any other way. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, Paul said, "For whom you forgive, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven for your sake, in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of you by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. So one of Satan's schemes is to get you into unforgiveness. That's one thing they do in satanic rituals, is they try to inflame a child's anger, get him so angry, and before he'll let the sun go down on his anger, and then the devil has him till he forgives. Matthew 18, so Peter came and he said to Jesus, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And of course, Jesus said, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. And you know, Carla shared this parable on Friday night. She shared the parable about the Lord who had two servants, and one owed him about $10 million and one owed about $18. And the one who owed $10 million, the Lord was commanded for him and his family to be thrown in prison, and the Lord had mercy on him. And he goes out and finds somebody that owes him $18 and said, pay up, chokes him, and throws him in prison. And so that's when Jesus said, so shall my heavenly Father also do you, Peter, if you do not forgive from your heart. Turn you over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease, and it means an inquisitor. So one of the judgments of unforgiveness is sickness, and I really believe that unforgiveness is behind all sickness. Either I need to get forgiven, or I need to forgive somebody. And so we need to keep on working till we see healing. And it may be one reason, it may be a thousand reasons, but don't give up. Don't ever stop. And so the next one, you want to read that?
But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe.
So the anger, the bitterness, the torment, the sickness, the disease comes in when we don't forgive. And here's an admonition. Well, let me tell you what forgiveness means. I'm sitting on my judge's bench and say, Eva has offended me. Usually, the offense started way back there with mom and dad. What she's doing is a reaping of what my mother and dad did. So I take Eva, I take my mother and daddy over to another courtroom, over to God's courtroom where he sits on his throne as judge of the universe, and I put Eva and my mother and daddy in front of the judge. And I just say, Lord, I put them in your hands. I close the door and I rest my case. And God says, judgment is mine. I'll repay. Vengeance is mine. And see, how God repays is you don't have to repay, because the law of sowing and reaping will say you'll get more later in the same thing that you do to others. And so that's why, that's how God repays, is through the law of sowing and reaping. We may not believe in the law of gravity, but if I threw this microphone, you'd see it would come down. There's a law of sowing, a law of reaping, a law of gravity, a law of aerodynamics, a law of physics. God's got laws that govern the universe. And so whenever I mistreat somebody, if I don't deal with it, it'll keep on reaping in my life until I deal with it. And here's an admonition. Colossians 3, verse 8 says, but you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Now, God's telling you to put it aside. That means I have to deny myself. Is that right? Well, I don't want to put it aside. My flesh don't like that. But God says put it aside. He's not going to do it, put it aside for you. He tells you to put it aside. He says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, the true knowledge of the image of the one who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision or non-circumcision, barbarian or Scythian, but Christ is all in all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know, I'm asking God to remind me every time I get into impatience, every time I get into pride, remind me, Lord, and I'll choose against it. Sometimes we get in it before we even realize it. Is that right? So, Lord, I ask you to show us every time we get into these things so we can put on love, put on kindness, put on humility. It says, forbearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if any among you quarrel, against any. So as Christ forgave you, also you forgive. And do all the, and above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the perfect bond, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you also were called, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. So stand up, if you will, and ask the Lord to show you the people that you have ought against. And forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean you have to fellowship with them, but it means that you have to deal with your heart issues. Lord, in Jesus' name, search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, I ask you to let me know the truth that sets me free. Lord, I ask you to show me every person I've been angry at. Show me times I've let the sun go down on my anger. Show me, Lord, every place I'm holding unforgiveness, anger, and bitterness. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that is setting me free. If there's a person that you just can't seem to forgive, it goes back to probably they did the same thing your mother and daddy did in some way. Or your grandparents. And then when you're through repenting, you can sit down, but don't sit down until you're through. That includes anger at yourself, too, because you're comparing yourself to some image or some idol that you think you ought to be like, and it's idolatry. Get on the potter's wheel, and God will make you what He wants you to be. And I discern that some of you are worried that you might miss something. This is the way to live. If you miss something today, tomorrow the Lord will show you if you're listening. So don't be afraid you're going to miss something. He's the Holy Spirit and He leads you into all truth. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. Forgive me, Lord, for not achieving your righteousness through walking in love. Forgive me for idolatry. God, forgive me. You know what? I need to do something. Stand back up. I need to tell you how to overcome anger. This is how. You could maybe do it a different way, but the way I let it go is say, Lord, well, listen, and then I want you to do it if you believe it in your heart. I mean, if your heart. But if I do this with anger and fear, anything I think should happen the way I think it ought to happen, and I want to start getting upset about it, I just say, Lord, I take that up the mountain, and if it glorify you the most for nobody to ever love me, for my kids to all go to hell, for my son to go in the, my grandson to go in the Marines, if it glorify you the most for this, for that, whatever would bring you greater glory is what I ask for, but devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. You can't touch my children. That's the way I give up my life, that I might find it. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. It'll take away your anger because you're trusting God to your circumstances. You're doing like Abraham did Isaac. You're taking it up the mountain and putting a knife to it. And I just say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if that would bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you're bound in Jesus' name. Now, the Bible says if you're not angry or fearful, you have not because you ask not. I'm not telling you to pray like way about everything because ask God. God says, make your request be known to Him. You can ask Him anything in His name and He'll do it. But I'm talking about when there's fear and anger and negative emotions, things that hurt. You just have to give it to the Lord. That works with hurt. It'll work with anything. It's just the way to, that's the way that God's taught me how to give up my life. And I can tell you, because of that, I don't have any fear and I don't have any anger toward anybody. Because it's like I'm saying, if I think my kids ought to do a certain thing, and I take that up the mountain and give it to God, then I'm leaving it to God what they need to do. Right? I'm keeping my hands off of it. So in Jesus' name, now, between you and the Lord, make an altar to the Lord and give up all these things that hurt you. Give up all these negative emotions. Just tell God to let it happen. Whatever you fear, whatever makes you angry, whatever you're bitter about. God says this is the confidence you can have toward Him. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for. And so if I'm taking it up the mountain and asking God to be glorified, do you think that He's going to answer that prayer about being glorified? So I can accept whatever comes because I pray that God would be glorified. And that's what I live for. Now, if you're not living to glorify God, then you got a problem. You got to ask God to change your heart. So just make an altar and then sit down when you're through. And you can sit down when you're through. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, I make an altar. I give up my life. I let all this mess go. I just let it go. And I thank you, Lord, that this is the confidence I can have towards you, that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if you hear me, I already have what I ask for. I remember when Kyle moved up north before he came home, I mean, it just hurt my heart. And I said, Lord, if it glorify you the most to move him to Africa and I never see him again, all I ask is one thing, is that his life will glorify you. And now he lives 300 yards behind me. You give up your life, God says you find it. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, forgive me for idolatry, worshiping false gods, being a fool. Pray with me. Forgive me for being quick to anger. Lord, forgive me for harsh words. God, forgive me for being hot-tempered. Lord, forgive me for not being slow to anger, better than the mighty. Forgive me for not ruling my spirit. God, I ask you to forgive me for not overlooking transgressions. Forgive me, Lord, for being bearing the penalty of demonization because of having great anger in my life. And Lord, let me tell you, there's great anger, bitterness and anger and hurt coming down through African American and you know, people that are not African Americans, but because of slavery, there's bitterness, there's hurt, there's pain, there's grief, there's sadness, there's sorrow, because of all the heinous crimes that were committed against the African American people. It was an abomination to God what happened in slavery. Mistreated, lied about, imprisoned, tortured, hung, falsely accused, kidnapped from your foreign, your original place would have been Africa or some other country, kidnapped, sold to white slave traders, sold to white slave owners, the betrayal that came down, the hurt, the grief. And you know, on behalf of white Americans, I want to ask you to forgive me for what white Americans have done to hurt your people, hurt you. Also, Indian ancestry. You know, the American government took away the Indians' land. There's lots of grief that's come down there. And so there's ruined cities and desolations of many generations that have to be dealt with. So, Lord, I forgive anyone who kidnaps my forefathers, hurt my forefathers, tortured them, enslaved them, whipped them, beat them, falsely accused them, murdered them, tortured them, chained them up, raped them, and molested them. I forgive every person that's ever touched my forefathers in an evil way or even spoke an evil word to them. And Lord, I forgive them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for not being willing to give up my life. Forgive me, Lord, for being hot-tempered. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for letting anger churn around in me. Forgive me for being a fool. Would you get the anger that's resided in my bosom? Would you get it out? Heart attacks, heart failure, heart problems. Forgive me for being eager in my heart to be angry. Lord, in Jesus' name, I choose to remove grief, sadness, sorrow, hurt, idolatry from my heart. And you said I can put pain out of my body. So I command all pain to leave people's bodies now. Emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain, get out of their bodies now in Jesus' name. All hurt, you have to go in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for all the times I let the sun go down on my anger. I pray that the fear of you will come upon me if I ever am tempted to ever do that again. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and bitterness, outcry. Forgive me for, I forgive my mother and father for provoking me to anger, not training me up in the way I should go. Lord, forgive me for the works of the flesh, adultery, idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, moral impurity. Forgive me for lasciviousness. Forgive me for sexual lewdness, wantonness, lustful behavior. God, forgive me for yearning after sexual things. Forgive me for idolatry and witchcraft, for pharmakia, sorcery, hatred, variance, emulation. God, forgive me for jealousy, envy, wrath, seditions, discontent, rebellious against authority. Lord, forgive me for holding to demonic doctrines. Lord, forgive me for envyings, jealousy, murders, murdering with my mouth, reveling, taking delight in rebellious merrymaking. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. God, forgive me for being just like Cain with a fallen countenance. Lord, I want to deal with the devil before he masters me. And I thank you that I will do that, Lord, because I love you. And Lord, I just forgive every person that's ever hurt me, disappointed me, failed me, didn't protect me, tortured me. And Lord, I forgive all these people. And I just break soul ties. Pray with me. I break soul ties with every person that's ever hurt me, spoke an evil word to me or my forefathers, molested me, sexually molested me, in the name of Jesus, spoke evil of me. I forgive them all. I break soul ties with every person. I call back my soul and spirit from them, sanctified, cleansed, and made whole by the blood of Jesus. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now, every demon of anger, bitterness, wrath, clamor has to go now in Jesus' name. All the tormentors, you have to go. I command all the inquisitors, you have to go. Every spirit that has is torturing them now has to go now. Torment, you have to go. Unbelief, doubt, lies, lying, fear, worry, anger, bitterness, hatred, murder. Get out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All spirits of martyr spirits, all victim spirits has to go. All orphan spirits, all spirits of neglect, all spirits that came in through the lack of nurture, all spirits that came in through not being trained up in the way they should go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hopelessness, despair, depression, go now in Jesus' name. Fornicating spirits, whoredom, harlotries, go. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness, carousing, a party spirit has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every lying spirit has to go. All unbelief and doubt, you have to go. We tear down these strongholds in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive in Jesus' name every thought to the obedience of Christ. We punish every disobedience because our obedience is complete. Get out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. All sickness, all cancer, all diabetes, all compromise, all tumors, growth, cysts, cancer, malignancy, get out. Rebellion, antichrist, leave now in Jesus' name. You have to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of mind control, heresy has to go. Envy, jealousy, greed, selfishness, get out now in Jesus' name. Every lying spirit that is everybody else's fault. Every spirit that keeps us from taking accountability for our sin, get out now. All sickness, all disease, come out of the body. All infirmity, you leave their bodies now in Jesus' name. All crippling spirits, you have to go. All spirits of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, all spirits of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, you have to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth. fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Go and sin no more, Jerry. God bless y'all. And Lord, we pray for the food. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Thank you for good food here in America. Lord, we are so grateful for all that we have. Thank you for water. Thank you that you bless our bread and water. We just give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.